Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
All right, we are now getting into our next segment, and our next segment is Ask a Pastor. So I want to invite you, as you listen, I want to encourage you to listen and participate. Don't just listen, participate. This segment is dedicated to anyone who has a question that is burning, and that question has not yet been answered. I'd love to encourage you, send your question. Please send your question, and my producer will find you a pastor, and the pastor will answer a question just like we have today. Our pastor for the rest of the week is Pastor Chwanda. If you're a listener of this radio station, you will know that Pastor Chwanda is one of the veteran pastors of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Not only is he a veteran pastor, he's a robust pastor. If you've been missing out on our conversations with him on this radio station, you are missing out on a wealth of knowledge and insight and perspective from a senior statesman in the faith and a veteran theologian. So when you listen to him, he speaks with all the authority we need, the guidance we need, and we are grateful, we are blessed to have him. Every time he agrees, we appreciate him and his family for granting us this time. So Pastor Foster Skinner Chwanda joins us on the line to give us some perspective on our question for today. And Fulis, good afternoon to you. Welcome. And thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us. Pastor Chwanda, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, sir. How are you?
I'm well. I'm well, Fulis. How are you?
Very well, and how are you, sir?
Great, great, great. Thank you very much, Mfundis. Our question for today, Pastor, is should pastors take extended sabbaticals to avoid burnout, even at the risk of church growth?
That's an important question, but my answer is yes. Pastors should take sabbaticals.
Okay.
Why? Pastors have no Sabbath rest.
Yes.
They are busy during weekend preaching. They are sweating on Sabbath day.
Yeah.
These are baptizing and doing this thing. They need a Sabbath. Where is the Sabbath for the pastor?
Right, right.
And ministerial work is 24 hours 7. You get a phone call right in the midst of the night. You have to drive out and meet that family that is in problems right at night.
Yeah, yeah.
There are pressures, demands, expectations for ministry just overwhelming to a pastor.
Right. So
burnout is inevitable and a reality for many a pastor. So for healthful ministerial work, a sabbatical is imperative.
Right.
That's
right.
Why church policies in most denominations, most churches, church policies have incorporated the sabbaticals for the pastor.
Okay.
You know, I worked for over 40 years as a pastor. I never entered into a single sabbatical rest.
Oh, my
but
God.
I think I can support the idea and also support that pastors go for sabbaticals.
Okay. Okay. So I'm curious, I'm sure you know by now the next question that I'm going to ask. Do we have any biblical example of a spiritual leader in the Bible? Prophet, priest, pastor, apostle, any of them that has ever taken a sabbatical?
In the Bible.
Yes.
You know, I'm not sure if I know one, but if we talk about Paul, I think he had a period of years in the wilderness, even before he started his ministry. I don't know what he was doing there with God, but he had quite a period of restfulness and probably interacting with God. But God, Jesus himself one time called his disciples. He says, "Hey, come rest a while. I think it was in Mark chapter 6, verse, I think it was... It could be Mark chapter 6, verse 31. Come rest a while. They need rest. And then you find that today, in fact, not everything that we do is in the Bible. Eh? Mm-hmm. Is it so? Is everything in the Bible? We are also told that we must use our minds. What we agree down here is also agreeable in heaven, as long as we are with him when we are agreeing. We are in his presence. So these church policies that have incorporated sabbaticals, I think they have made something which God has conquered should take place.
I have a very interesting ear in what you say. I don't know if I'm hearing you well, but I think what I'm hearing is correct, but you correct me, Mfundisi. So the pastor is saying pastors don't rest. They don't have a Sabbath. Did I hear the pastor very well?
I said exactly that.
Why? Because Jesus rested. Paul rested.
Exactly that, because
all of the priests rested. Why do pastors do their own thing? Because Jesus rested on the Sabbath. Paul rested on the Sabbath.
So, you see, the resting of Jesus on the Sabbath was not resting also. Wasn't he charged of going around in the fields and letting his disciples pick those?
That was one event, Mfundisi. That was one event.
No, it was not one event. Don't you know that Jesus was spending days walking around on Sabbath in synagogues and in homes? He wasn't resting.
We're not going to find that in the Bible, though, Pastor.
He told the people, my father works every day, all the time. My father works all the time, when he was defending his too much work on Sabbath.
That those events, Mfundisi, like I say, those were not regular events. There is no record in the scriptures that where Jesus regularly went to heal on the Sabbath. It was it was exceptions, not a regular thing. Even when his disciples went and picked, they were hungry, they were passing by. And that also was a one-time event. There is no regularity of desecration of the Sabbath. And even when he explained himself about, would you not, when he had healed a person on the Sabbath, he said, would you not rescue your cow or your donkey on the Sabbath? So he demonstrated that these are things that you do when there is an emergency. He did not do it as a regular occurrence. He rested on the Sabbath, Mfundisi.
Yeah, but the need for a sabbatical for pastors today is that they are pastors of congregations.
Yes.
Jesus was not a pastor of a congregation. He was a mobile physician going around healing people and so on. But the pastor has his congregation that he's dealing with day in, day out, and which is demanding his time and his efforts and his ministry, his services. So the pastor is in a different condition altogether than those that were in the Bible.
I agree with you for this. Why do pastors do that? I totally agree with you that what pastors are doing right now is totally different from what Jesus did and first century Christianity did. Why do pastors do things that are really not exemplified in Scripture? Why, where do these pastors get their way of doing things? If the first example of the church does not do what pastors are doing, why? Why do pastors do their own thing?
Not exactly. You see that the pastors draw their works from the Bible itself.
Like where? Where in the Bible does it say pastors must not rest on Sabbath, Mfundisi? This idea of pastors working hard on a Sabbath is unbiblical. Where do we get it from in the scriptures that pastors must go around churches?
But the sabbatical is not just happening because of a single Sabbath. The sabbatical is happening because their work is 24/7.
I hear you.
It's 24/7.
I hear you.
Their work is 24/7. And the pressures are 24/7, the demands are 24/7, the expectations are 24/7. So the pastor's sabbatical, need for sabbatical, is not merely because of their activities on a single Sabbath day, but because their work is 24/7, the demands are just overwhelming. And the risk of burnout is very, very high. And so that makes it very important that the church itself should understand. Because, you know, your question also adds that at the risk of church growth. I thought that risk is just an assumption.
Here's the thing, Mfundis. I want to give you an example of the work that I do. I am a freelance journalist, a broadcast journalist, an investigative journalist, and an analytic journalist. So I deal with sourcing information and sharing that information and making it simple for those who are listening. That's my niche in journalism. I've been doing that for 26 years now, if my count is correct. Now, as freelance journalists, we don't have times of working. Our work is 24/7. Whenever somebody says there's a story somewhere, even if it's at midnight, you go there. So, by all intents and purposes, the scope of the work of a journalist is 24/7. However, that it is 24/7, we go wherever the story goes, and we don't have knock-on time or knock-off time. We work for as long as the story is live and active. That doesn't mean every day I am on assignment. Every day I am under a bridge covering the story. Every day I'm in a war zone. It is, in theory, a 24/7 job, but it is not in practice a 24/7 job. Now, in the same way, pastors, in theory, are supposed to be available whenever they are needed. But in practice, they are not always needed 24/7. And as such, that's why you are able to have pastors who are in their houses wearing shorts. The whole week, no one calls the pastor. The question I ask him for this is, what is the sabbatical for?
That's interesting. I would like to disagree with you.
Okay.
Having been a pastor in an African context.
Right.
A pastor in an African context, when we talk about 24/7, it is real. It is real.
Okay.
Because the pastor doesn't usually have one church. If he has one church, there are so many church members in that. So many families.
Absolutely.
So many families to deal with.
Yes.
So many issues, marriage issues, issues of differences between people, or issues of studies, trainings, and so on. So the pastor is busy. He has to prepare sermons. He has to study the Bible. He has to study other books. He has to create illustrations for his sermon. There are so many things that the pastor must do.
Yeah.
So because of that, and that continues for a whole year,
right,
for 2 years, the sabbatical is coming after a number of years, some 5 years, some 3 years, some 2 years. And that's where they're bringing that sabbatical to say,
right,
hey, the pastor has worked. Let us give him a refreshing time where he can go and refresh himself, renew his vision,
right.
Renew his calling, and so on, and probably be with his family if he can be with his family,
right.
Or maybe learn something else, learn a certain skill, maybe go and learn how to use computers,
how to use
the media for gospel, that kind of thing, giving the pastor just a leave of his routine duties so
that he
can probably get recharged, get refreshed, and recommit himself to the real calling that God has called him for.
I hear you.
I find that very, 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 very important.
I hear you, Mfundis. And for the record, I want to say that what you're saying is echoed by almost all pastors. I've said exactly what you're saying. So what you're saying is absolutely true. I'm not disputing the truthfulness of what you're saying, but I do need to ask the question that I'm going to ask now. My older brother is a pastor, and he agrees with you totally. 2 days ago, if I'm not mistaken, was it a day ago or 2 days ago? At the general conference, he did raise that very matter in the church manual committee, to the committee, so that it can be addressed, the issue of pastors who are dealing with more than just one congregation. So I want to agree with you and everyone who's listening. The question I'm about to ask It doesn't mean I disagree with the pastor and what this pastor is saying is wrong. I totally agree with you, Mfundis. But I have to ask the question because I'm still a journalist and the question that still arises needs to be asked, and I'll give you the opportunity to ask. So the pastor is talking about things that you are doing like counseling and so forth. And I want to pick on that because I addressed this with Pastor Justice Mongwe. There is no counseling in the Bible, Mfundis. Why do pastors burden themselves with work that is not theirs? There is nowhere from Genesis to Revelation where God calls upon any of the ministers of the gospel, whether you're a pastor or a prophet or a priest or whatever. There is no one, there's no man, human being, that is called upon to be a counselor. Not even Jesus interfered in matrimonial issues. Prophets did not interfere in matrimonial issues. No one counseled another. You needed counseling, you go and talk to God. You have an issue with your wife, you're a Hosea, you have an issue with your wife, you take it up with God. There was never a responsibility allocated to a human being to counsel another human being. The Spirit of God is the one that guides, that is the counselor. Why do pastors take upon themselves so much percent? We're seeing them burning out because they're doing jobs that they don't belong to them. Why? There's no biblical requirement for pastors to counsel anyone. Do you want to help us understand why, Mfundis?
The whole gospel is a counseling gospel.
Yes.
The entire gospel is counseling. When you are asking people to abandon their sinful life,
yes,
and enter into the path of righteousness,
yes,
you are actually offering counsel. You are counseling them.
Okay.
It's a counseling profession.
Okay.
Pastoral work is a counseling profession. In fact, we call it biblical counseling.
Okay.
You draw the counsels from the Word of God.
Right.
You work together with God. You work with the Holy Spirit,
right,
to provide that counsel to those that are straying, to those that are going astray. You bring them back by a word, a smooth word that calls them to God, or a rough word that reprimands them on the way to evil.
Right, right.
So there are high degrees of counseling in pastoral work, and the work of the pastor goes beyond that because he's also a physician in some way, because he has to deal with people that are diseased, he has to pray for the sick, he has to visit the prisons. There are so many things that are happening with the pastor, and he's so busy, he's so overwhelmed, and sometimes he's drained. You find that the sermons that he's preaching are packaged. The same sermons he preached 5 years ago, he's also preaching them now, as if there is no Bible. So give him time to rest so that he can know that the Bible is bigger than what he is preaching.
So all of these things that Mfundis is talking about are already allocated to the rest of the church, not to pastors. Pastors are purely meant to teach, and that's it. The issue of laying of hands is not for pastors. There is nowhere God expects pastors to lay hands. And the laying of the hands is the role of the elders of the church, not pastors. I don't know where pastors get it from that they are supposed to be laying hands. The Bible says, is any among you sick? Call not the pastor, but the elder. Pastors have no business laying hands on the sick. It's elders who do that. And when there's an issue of visiting the sick, it's not for the pastors alone. Because Jesus says, whenever you did this to the least of my brothers, you did it to me. He was not talking to pastors. There were no pastors when Jesus was saying that. He was giving that to everyone. All of us are supposed to be doing that, visiting the sick and visiting the prisons and all of that. But the laying of hands is strictly for elders, not for pastors.
You are not going to forget Ephesians chapter 4,
okay,
which tells us that God gave some,
yes,
to be apostles,
yes,
others to be pastors,
yes,
others to be this and that. And then he says they were all chosen to facilitate, to equip,
yes,
the saints,
yes,
for good work. So you can see that the pastor he is an all-round kind of figure who actually manages the trainings and also directs things at the church. What is happening with the pastor is that he has become an administrator.
Yes,
As such, he pulls the strings from different sides and he tries to equip everyone else and to bring everybody else together into the work.
Right.
So let's do this work together. So he is a team leader. He's a mentor.
Absolutely.
He's a team leader. He's the coach. He's all that.
Absolutely.
He must be busy.
I agree with you,
Bunis.
So verse 12 tells us exactly that. It doesn't say he does the work himself, he equips the saints to do them.
Yeah, he's a coach.
Exactly.
He's an equipper.
So the teachers and the apostles and the prophets and the evangelists, the pastors, they are all there to teach others, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. They don't do it themselves. Again, the question is, why
sabbatical allows the pastor to escape the scene of church activity, leave it to those that he has equipped, and then he goes and rests a bit.
It makes
a lot of sense because he has equipped people and he's saying, gentlemen, please go ahead, take this one, do this. I delegate it to you. I delegate this to that
yes,
one.
Yes.
I have delegated the pastor work itself to that one. But now allow me to go away and connect with God, because sabbatical is also a connection with God, to be in the presence of God full time with God.
Yes. So
recharging spiritually.
Yeah. Why would you recharge if you didn't spend anything? If you did not go out to do the work, it is the people you were keeping to do the work. When all you do is on Sabbath, you equip them, you teach them, and then you let them go.
No.
You rest the whole week.
equipping is the hardest work that must be done. Do you remember Jesus had 12?
Yes.
12 disciples. Why was he walking around with them?
And he never took a sabbatical.
He never took a sabbatical, but you should know that he was here only for 3 years and he would be leaving.
Absolutely.
He would be leaving. After 3 years, he would be leaving.
Yes.
After being with them for 3 years, he would be leaving them to do the work themselves.
Well, then why have why have leave of absence for pastors every year? And yet Jesus didn't, for 3 years, Jesus never took leave. Huh?
Yeah, but what was he doing during the 31 years? He was just growing up.
Yes. He was just a carpenter.
He lived on this planet for more than, for about 30 years or 20, or 27 years or 30 years.
Yes.
So he was here for 30 years. Incarnated, living without getting in touch with so many people. But when he started his ministry, he just took 12 to equip them, to groom them for the work that he wanted, and to make sure that they will do what he wants.
Right.
They did it.
Okay.
And they did it.
All right. Got it.
Yeah. But
got
now it. the pastor, is that this pastorate? Is that this church for 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, some 10 years? You mean you should just be there all the time, minute by minute, year by year, month by month, week by week? No. Training the pastor.
Okay.
Training the pastor.
All right, got it. We're taking it for this. I really appreciate it, as always. It's always amazing talking to you. Have a wonderful day, Brother Bruce. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Thank you so much.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.